let's talk about something that should concern every iOS user. A project called Loop, currently the highest scoring story on HN Today with 326 points and 122 comments, is a research app from Maisk Research that demonstrates what native iOS apps can actually observe about your device and behavior. The name is apt. It's a magnifying glass for the invisible. What Loop reveals is the range of fingerprinting vectors available to any app developer who wants to identify and track users without ever accessing location, contacts, or any of the explicitly permission-gated data.
The kinds of data points Loop exposes are subtle but powerful in combination. Things like system font lists, time zone combined with locale settings, device model inference from screen dimensions and performance characteristics, keyboard behavior timing, installed app detection through URL scheme probing. Any one of these alone is innocuous, but together they form a fingerprint that's stable across app reinstalls and even device resets. The researchers are making a pointed argument. Apple's privacy marketing focuses heavily on explicit permission flows, but the implicit information available to any app on the platform is substantially larger than most users realize.
The HN discussion got into the inherent tension here. Some argued that Apple's app tracking transparency framework was a genuine privacy improvement. And it was. Forcing apps to ask for tracking permission significantly disrupted the advertising ecosystem. But ATT addresses cross-app tracking via advertising identifiers. It doesn't address the fingerprinting vectors Loop demonstrates, which don't require any permission at all. You can build a highly effective user identity signal from data that iOS exposes by design, because that data has legitimate uses.
It's also worth noting the business context. MySky Research has done previous work documenting how Apple's own apps transmitted data in ways that weren't fully disclosed. They have a track record of rigorous, reproducible research on this topic. Loop is available on GitHub, which means other researchers can verify and extend the findings. That's the gold standard for this kind of work.
Moving from privacy to open standards, SMPTE, the Society of Motion Picture and Television Engineers, has made its entire standards library freely accessible. For listeners outside the media technology world, SMPT is the body that defines the technical standards underpinning professional video production, post-production, and distribution. We're talking about standards like SMPE 2110 for IP-based live production, ST2084 for high dynamic range video, and the timecode standards that every piece of broadcast equipment speaks. Previously, accessing these standards cost hundreds of dollars per document.
The significance here is twofold. For working engineers, particularly at smaller companies and in emerging markets where professional tooling costs are a real barrier, free access to the actual specification documents changes what's feasible. You no longer have to choose between buying a spec document or reverse engineering the behavior from reference implementations. But more broadly, this follows a pattern we've seen in other standards bodies, IEEE making certain standards free, W3C publishing everything openly, where the organization recognizes that adoption and innovation benefit more from open access than from document sales revenue.
The HN comments noted that SMPTE's decision comes as the industry is in genuine transition. The shift from traditional broadcast infrastructure to IP-based production workflows is accelerating, and the ST2110 standards are central to that shift. Making those specifications freely available lowers the barrier for software-defined broadcast infrastructure, which is increasingly where the industry is heading.
Now let's talk about something that sounds impossible, but apparently works, UHF X11, which implements the X11 display protocol for Vision OS and Apple Vision Pro. X11 is the windowing system that has powered Unix and Linux desktops since 1987. The idea of running it on spatial computing hardware seems anachronistic in the best possible way. The developer apparently created a full X11 server that renders into the Vision Pro's spatial environment, meaning you can run X11 applications, including legacy Unix software, in Apple's mixed reality OS.
The HN discussion was divided between people who found this genuinely useful for running older scientific and research software that has never been ported to modern platforms, and people who were mostly impressed by the sheer audacity of the project. X11 has a famously complex protocol. It was designed for a networked environment where display and application could be on different machines. And that architecture has both remarkable flexibility and significant complexity. Getting it to render correctly into a spatial computing environment with proper depth and occlusion handling is not a trivial engineering problem.
It also raises an interesting question about the long tail of software. There are categories of scientific instrumentation software, legacy CAD tools, and research applications that run on X11 and will likely never be rewritten for modern platforms because the user base is too small. Projects like this create unexpected longevity for software that would otherwise become inaccessible as the hardware it was designed for disappears.
One more for this segment. Cloudflare has announced temporary accounts for AI agents, and it's getting serious attention with 218 points and 115 comments. The concept is that when an AI agent needs to perform web interactions, visiting sites, filling forms, making API calls, it can be provisioned with a temporary Cloudflare account that has scoped permissions and a limited lifespan. After the task is complete, the account is destroyed along with any state it accumulated.
The framing Cloudflare uses is interesting. They're essentially treating the agent identity lifecycle as an infrastructure problem rather than an application problem. Instead of each AI application implementing its own credential management, session handling, and cleanup logic, you delegate all of that to infrastructure. The security properties are better because the ephemeral account genuinely can't accumulate persistent access or be reused by a compromised agent. The operational properties are better because cleanup is automatic.
The debate in the HN comments centered on whether this solves the right problem. Several people pointed out that the harder challenge for reliable AI agents isn't identity management, it's behavioral unpredictability. An agent with perfect credential hygiene can still take unexpected actions. But as Marcus noted, infrastructure that reduces the blast radius of agent errors or compromises is genuinely valuable, even if it doesn't address every challenge.